27, 28. More activities for ideal families, family life, to make one's family life ideal. Narada Muni continue. This is 27:28. Now I should describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. First principle, any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for an auspicious activity, for auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is indicated that a Vaishnava temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is worshipped and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord is the best sacred place for performing any religious ceremonies. At the present day, especially in big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity or temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. So the temples are the best place for religious ceremonies. Even nowadays, the temples are used for sanskara ceremonies very often. But more than that, because people don't have so much an interest in these things, the temples are used to help people become in Krishna consciousness, assist in that, coming to Krishna consciousness. More on auspicious places. Auspicious places are indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. We'll read from the end of Prabhupada's fairly long purport to that verse, sort of in the last two paragraphs. If a Grihastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small deity of Radha and Krishna or Sitaram, in each and every home. This made everything auspicious, but now they have given up deity worship. Men have become modernized and are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely happy. Modern means simple. Sinful activities. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred. And still, there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Hardwar, Rameshwar, Prayag, and Mathura. India is the place for worshipping or for cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna consciousness movement invites everyone from all over the world, without discrimination as to caste or creed, to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life perfectly. This is interesting. The sacred lakes like Pushkar, because again, into the places where religious functions should be done where they will be most effective. The sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where, raise your hand if you've been to Pushkar. You have seen. It's one of the only Brahma temples in the world.
Where is it? It's in Rajasthan.
It's a famous place for hippies to go to when they tour India, and also the famous camel fairs there. And there's also one place on top of Sakigiri that it represents Pushkar in Uchagaon. And there's also another Brahma temple in Braja, the place where Brahma and Vamoha Lila took place. Also wonderful. So the sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra. Raise your hand if you've been to Kurukshetra. Yes. Gaya, Prayag, Pula Ashram, Namasharanya. Raise your hand if you've been to Namasharanya. Yes? Is it wonderful there? Adi, how come you haven't been to Namasharanya? Okay. When will you go? The banks of the Falgu River, Setabandhu, that's South India. Prabhas, raise your hand if you've been to Prabhas. Yes. It's a place where not a happy place, actually. Well, the Yadavas and the place of the departure from this world of Balaram.
Do they have temples commemorating
them? Huh? Do they have temples commemorating them? Balki Tirtha, where Krishna was. Bhadarikashram, Narayanashram, the places where the Nandi River flows, the places where Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakoot, and also the hilly tracts of land known as Mahendra and Malaya. All of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside of India, where there are centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, and Radhakrishna deities are worshipped, must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. We'll read the word by words for that one in a moment. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed in any other place. So, Malaya Adaya means, and other places like Malachala, Malayachala, Ete, all of them, Punya Tama, extremely sacred, Desha, places, this is from the word by words, Hari, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Archa, Ashritaha, places where the deity of Radha and Krishna is worshipped, the Archa Vigraha, Ashrita, is being taken shelter of in worship, such as big American cities like New York, Los Angeles, in parentheses, and San Francisco, and European cities like London and Paris, and wherever there are centers of Krishna consciousness. That's where the concept, Prabhupada inserted that in there, because it talks about Hari, Archa, Ashrita, places where the Supreme Personality, Desha, Hari, Archa, Ashrita, places where the deities of Hari, or Radha and Krishna, are worshipped. We'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport there. And these verses, oh yeah, and in verse 29, stress is given to one point, Harir Archa Ashrita Chaye, or Hari Archa. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna consciousness movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centers, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission as it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. Prativiti acheyati nagarari gram savatra pacha haibe moranam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world, so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, nothing is auspicious. Text 34. O King of the Earth, it has been decided by experts, learned scholars, that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in whom all that is moving or non-moving within this universe is resting, and from whom everything is coming, is the best person to whom everything must be given. Prabhupada's purport. Whenever we perform, because the point was where should worship be taking place, and then ultimately here who should be worshipped. And it's only Hari, or the Supreme Lord. Harir Iveka Urvisa Yanmayam Vai Characharam. Whenever we perform, Prabhupada's purport, whenever we perform some religious act in terms of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, we must perform it according to the time, place, and person, Kala, Desha, and Patra. Narada Muni has already described the Desha, the place, and the Kala, Patram. Those were the last two sections. The Kala had been described in verses 20 through 24, beginning with the words Ayane Visuve Koryad Viti Pate Dinak Chee, and the places for giving charity or performing ritualistic ceremonies have been described in verses 30 through 33, beginning with Saramsi Pushkaranadi Chetrani Arhasrityani Uta. Now, to whom everything must be given is decided in this verse. Harir Evaika Ovisi Yanmayam Vai Characharam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the root of everything, and therefore he is the best patra or person to whom everything must be given. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Savaloka Mahesharam Saridam Gyatvamam Shantim Rijati. If one wants to enjoy real peace and prosperity, he should give everything to Krishna, who is the real enjoyer, the real friend, and real proprietor. It is therefore said, Yata taro mulanes teshchanena tripyanti tachskanda bhujopasaka panoparascha yatendriyanam tataiva savarhanamut achuteja. By worshipping or satisfying Achuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, one can satisfy everyone. Just as one can water the branches, leaves, and flowers of a tree simply by watering the root. Or as one satisfies all the senses of the body by giving food to the stomach. Therefore, a devotee simply offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to receive the best results of charity, religious performances, sense gratification, and even liberation. So Prabhupada, as he often does, brings everything to the ultimate principle. So lesser principles are given, and lesser principles have their purpose. They are fulfilled. Their purpose is to bring one to the highest principle. And if one is performing the highest principle, therefore there is no need for the lesser principles, which, again, their only purpose is to bring one to the highest principle. So if one wants to learn calculus, or differential equations, or something like that, one must start with A, B, C, D. Excuse me, 1 and 1 is 2, arithmetic, etc. But then if one has the capacity to perform the differential, solving differential equations and different types of calculus, then there's no need to study 1 and 1 is 2, because that means you've already understood it. The purpose of 1 and 1 is 2 has been served already for you. So really, really, the point is ultimately that we must develop our love for Krishna. And prior to that, we must serve Krishna with great love and devotion. And prior to that, we must surrender to Krishna. And prior to that, we must become purified so indeed we can give ourselves to Krishna. So this verse Prabhupada is quoting in his purport, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, that it is Krishna, and this is the point, that it is he that all of sacrifices and tapasyas are meant to satisfy. It is he. So this, the verse that we're studying in the seventh canto, is about performing the sacrifices. So Krishna is to be pleased by them. So householders learn must learn to please Krishna, not to please themselves only. Remove the selfishness. But it's not only householders who have to learn this. Everyone has to learn this. And in this way, if we learn this, then we become satisfied and happy. And we cannot become satisfied or happy in another way. And this we have to actually deeply realize. And until we actually deeply come to this conclusion, or we could say just until we come to this conclusion, then we cannot surrender, give ourselves to Krishna, because we'll be thinking, as Prabhupada says here, if one wants to enjoy real peace and prosperity, this is in his comment on practically or his translation of this Samgyatvamam Shantimrichati verse. If one wants to enjoy real peace and prosperity, he should give everything to Krishna. So this conclusion is impossible to realize with the materialistic mind, because the materialistic mind is thinking, if I want to enjoy real peace and prosperity, should I take everything for me? Me and my family. So to break that tendency, the Vedic shastras make it required, this is the dharma of a householder, to perform these sacrifices and so many ritualistic activities to satisfy others. This puja and that puja and this sanskara and that, on and on and on and on, and this festival and that festival, just so that we take this. It moves us forcibly, if one is obedient to the Vedic scriptures, it moves us forcibly from this artificial center, selfish center of me, which is, it dooms us. It dooms us. 35. O King Yudhisthira, we'll read 35 and 36. The demigods, many great sages and saints, including even the four sons of Lord Brahma, and I myself were present at your Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. But when there was a question of who should be the first person worshipped, everyone decided upon Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person. Everyone but Shishupala. The entire universe, but the opposition was removed. The entire universe, which is full of living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta. What does that mean? That the root is Him. Everything else comes from Him and is nourished by Him. If the root is nourished, then everything else is nourished. And this point again, if we satisfy Krishna, this point again is emphasized, if we satisfy Krishna, then we become satisfied. Krishna is not lacking anything. It is not that he needs our leaf, flute, fruit, or flower, or water. We are satisfied if we worship him with devotion, asnami paritapmana, by his accepting our offerings. By his being pleased with us, we become satisfied. So therefore, again, it's the same point, that we want to please Krishna, place him in the center, and that is bhakti, and that is the removal of false ego. And Maya continuously tells us, and our false ego continuously tells us, and the mind continuously confirms it, that no, take care of yourself only. So the conclusion is that in these two verses, therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. If we worship Krishna, everyone becomes satisfied. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, 37, has created many residential places like the bodies of human beings, animals, birds, saints, and demigods. And all of these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord resides with the living entity as Paramatma. Thus he is known as Purushavatara. So which Paramatma is that? There are three Purusha avatars. There are three Paramatmas. And what does Paramatma mean? The soul, the supreme soul. So there is the supreme soul in the body. That is Chiradaksha Vishnu. Am I the supreme soul in the body? No. There is the super soul. Paramatma ti chapyukto dehesmin purusha para. He is the purusha para. So that is one Paramatma. He gives life to me, who is the life in the body. And the other Paramatma who gives life to the universe, the Paramatma of the universe, is Garbhadaksha Vishnu. And the Paramatma of the entirety of material existence is Karanadaksha Vishnu, Mahavishnu. He is known as the Purushavatara, the one who is in everyone's heart. He is Chiradaksha Vishnu. O King Yudhisthira, so now the topic is moved to the super soul, because by worshipping Krishna, one worships everyone. And Krishna, and here in this verse it said that he is in everyone's heart as the super soul. Pureshu Purusha Yaso. O King Yudhisthira, the super soul in everybody gives intelligence to the individual soul according to his capacity for understanding. Therefore, the super soul is the chief within the body. The super soul is manifested to the individual soul according to the individual's comparative development of knowledge, austerity, penance, and so on. We'll read from the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, it is said, Matas smitam ganamapovanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his localized aspect, gives intelligence to the individual soul as far as he is able to grasp it. Therefore, we find that the individual soul in different high and low positions, A living entity with the body of a bird or beast cannot take instructions from the Supreme Soul as adequately as an advanced human being. Thus, there are gradations of bodily forms. In human society, the perfect Brahmana is supposed to be the most advanced in spiritual consciousness, and further advanced than the Brahmana is the Vaishnava. Therefore, the best persons are the Vaishnavas and Vishnu. So the person to worship, again, this is following on the who is the best person to worship after the place and the methodology of worship. So charity should be given and the worship is done to the Supreme Lord or the Brahmanas or the devotees. My dear King, when great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings, very, very interesting verse and purport. When the great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. Let's read this purport, and it explains. Isn't it interesting that the mutually disrespectful dealings is the symptom of the increase in that is the symptom of the different ages. And in Kali, the age of quarrel, there is so much mutually, there's complete disrespect of everyone. That means increased selfishness again. So in Kali Yuga, selfishness increases and respect decreases. And Mahaprabhu's prescription is just the opposite. Amani namana dena kirtaniya sada. Give respect to others and don't take any for yourself. So re-establishing respectful dealings And this is a great challenge within within every circle of dealings amongst in family, in devotees, within the society, to be respectful for to others and not demand any respect for oneself. What consciousness do you have to have to do that? You have to be very humble. You have to be tolerant. You have to be advanced. One has to see one's other fault, one's own faults, and see others as better than oneself even. So let's hear Prabhupada's purport. Quite interesting. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.352, Krite yadyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makai dvapare paricharyayam kalo tadhari kirtanat. Whatever result one obtained in Satyayuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Tretayuga by performing sacrifice, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can also be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In Satyayuga, every person was spiritually advanced, and there was no envy between great personalities. That's the mark of spiritual advancement. Gradually, however, because of material contamination with the advance of the ages, disrespectful dealings appeared even among Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. That means increase in envy. Because spiritual advancement meant no envy between great personalities. With material contamination, disrespectful dealings comes, which means increase of envy again. As stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhananam Savesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samacharam, and recommended more than worship of Vishnu is worship of the Vaishnavas. Formerly, all activities were performed in connection with Vishnu, but after Satyayuga, there were symptoms of disrespectful dealings amongst Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is he who has helped others become Vaishnavas. An example of one who has converted many others into Vaishnavas is Narada Muni, a powerful Vaishnava who has converted others into Vaishnavas is to be worshipped. But because of material contamination, sometimes an exalted Vaishnava is disrespected by other minor Vaishnavas. There may be some hints of autobiographical intent in here. When great saintly persons saw this contamination, they introduced worship of the deity in the temple. This began in Treta Yuga and was especially prominent in Dwapara Yuga. Dwapare Paricharyayam. But in Kali Yuga, worship of the deity is being neglected. Therefore, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than deity worship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set a practical example in that he did not establish any temples or deities, but he profusely introduced the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Krishna-conscious preachers should give more stress to the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing transcendental literature more and more. This helps the Sankirtan movement. Whenever there is a possibility to worship the deity, we may establish many centers. But generally, we should give more stress to the distribution of transcendental literature, for this will be more effective in converting people to Krishna consciousness. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Archayam eva haraye pujam yashradaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakriti smrita. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general is called a prakrita bhakta or kanista adhikari. A Prakriti devotee, or neophyte devotee, is still on the material platform. He certainly He certainly engages in worshipping the deity, but he cannot appreciate the activities of a pure devotee. It has actually been seen that even an authorized devotee who is engaged in the service of the Lord by preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness is sometimes criticized by neophyte devotees. Such neophytes are described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sarva prani samanana samartanam avagyas spardadi matam tu bhagavat pati maiva patram mityaha. For those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7.11, it is clearly said, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahita Pravartana. Without being authorized by Krishna, one cannot preach the holy name of the Lord throughout the entire world. Nevertheless, a devotee who does so is criticized by neophyte devotees, Kanista Adhikaris, who are on the lower stages of devotional service. For them, deity worship is strongly recommended. Text 40. Sometimes a neophyte devotee offers all the paraphernalia for worshipping the Lord, and he factually worships the Lord as the deity. But because he is envious of the authorized devotees of Lord Vishnu, the Lord is never satisfied with his devotional service. Purusha Dvisham, for those who are envious of Lord Vishnu and his purport. Deity worship is especially meant for purifying the neophyte devotees. Actually, however, preaching is more important. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Natchatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. If one wants to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must preach the glories of the Lord. One who worships the deity must therefore be extremely respectful to preachers. Otherwise, simply worshipping the deity will keep one in the lower stage of devotion. So very, very heavy, strong points. My dear King, of all persons, a qualified brahmana must be accepted as the best within the material world, because such a brahmana, by practicing austerity, Vedic studies and satisfaction, becomes the counterpart body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the final verse in this chapter. My dear King Yudhisthira, the Brahmins, especially those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world, are recognized and worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the heart and soul of all creation. The Brahmanas, by their preaching, sanctify the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet, and thus they are worshipable even for Krishna. Purport. As admitted by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, 1869, Natchatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritamam. The Brahmanas preach the cult of Krishna consciousness all around the world, and therefore, although they worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord also recognizes them as worshipable. The relationship is reciprocal. The Brahmins want to worship Krishna, and similarly Krishna wants to worship the Brahmins. In conclusion, therefore, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord must be worshipped by religionists, philosophers, and people in general. At the Rajasuya Jagya of Maharaj Yudhisthira, many hundreds and thousands of Brahmanas were present, yet Krishna was selected to be worshipped first. Therefore, Krishna is always the Supreme Person, but by his causeless mercy, he recognizes the Brahmanas as dear most to him. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Ideal Family Life. So it is described, this chapter is described how to live in such a way that one, even as a householder, that one doesn't become further entangled in materialistic life, entrapped, but rather one becomes purified. And the chapter ends by saying who is worshipped, and the two objects of worship are given as the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And the most worshipable person and most fortunate person will be established at the very end of this canto, in the 15th chapter, at the end of the 15th chapter, as the devotees. That's tadiyanam samachanam. Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. That better than the best kind of worship, Vishnu aradhanam param. The best kind of worship, Lord Shiva says, is Vishnu worship. But better than the best is tadiyanam. Tadiyanam means those things connected with Krishna. And therefore, from that is derived the understanding of the devotees. Because the devotee means who is connected with Krishna. So the place, the how to worship has been described for householders, and who to worship has been described. And the purpose, again, is to expand one's sense of self and remove it from just being contracted into the family. Family can be there, but the center must be Krishna. So therefore, the deity is worship, so that the householder doesn't think, I am the center, I am the master of this house, and it is meant for me and my enjoyment. So rather, one can remain a servant in the house when the deity is worshipped. And it's kept clean and things are regulated for the pleasure of the deity. Servant means for the pleasure of another. Him in the center, not me in the center. So that me in the center guarantees repeated births, which guarantees repeated deaths. So the point is to move the nuclear family, as they call it, and properly named, because the nuclear family, as opposed to the extended family. Extended family, there were the uncles and the cousins and the parents and the grandparents and the grandchildren and everyone living together. And then using the concept of the Bhagavatam, it's expanded even to mean the animals and everything. Big extended family. And that has died in Kali Yuga. And now it's just the nuclear family, which is properly named because it's so explosive. And it contains just the husband, the wife, and the children, and the unlimited quarreling. So expand the concept of who is me, who I am, and who is mine, for the purpose of developing love for Krishna. The thing that the verses said. Who is speaking the verses? The Agrapatra. The Agrapatra, Thakur Haridas, was given that. And you want to look it up, or you're already doing that? Hare Krishna Prabhu. Could you look up that patra to see if one of the meanings of persons?
Patra means object.
Yeah.
Means an object.
Object. Does that answer your question?
I guess that the worthy part is significant. It connotes the circumstances.
You're talking about in Kala Desha Patra.
Yeah.
How does it fit with circumstances? Is we translate that?
This whole chapter speaks about Desha, Kala, and Patra. First it describes Kala, then it describes Desha, and the last part describes Patra. Who is the worthy object of charity.
Okay, so how do I think Dhanmasthami Prabhu's point is, how do we translate that as circumstances? Kala Desha Patra, we say, put those together. Time, place, and circumstances.
Circumstantially,
you mean anything? Certainly. How does that answer your question? How does that satisfy you? But how does that make it a circumstance?
The circumstances, the worthiness
of
the person, the object.
But so it means, say if we're preaching, we want to adjust it according to the patra. The object of the preaching is the persons. So we, according to the time, place, and the quality of the persons. No, not worthy in that sense, but their quality. This is how I'm seeing it. The quality of the person. Just like some people, they're worthy of getting prasadam, but not of hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So that's part of the circumstances, is the qualifications of the person, the worthiness of the persons. That's a very big part of it. So there's the time, and then there's the place, and there's the worthiness of the reciprocants, which affect the preaching, which has to do with circumstances. Say, like when Prabhupada was first preaching in the United States, there was so much talk about Christianity, actually, and Lord Jesus and things like that, because the circumstances, this was the people, this is what their concept of religion was. So you'd have to approach the unknown concept of religion, which was Krishna consciousness, through the known, because everyone's naturally going to ask, what is the relationship with this to Krishna consciousness? So that's circumstances. It all has to do with the mentality and the worthiness or the qualifications of the person, with the reality of their qualification. That's how I. Do you have any comments, Atharya comments for this that we could hear for this chapter that you'd like to read?
Says,
in chapter 14.
Yes.
So if you respect everyone and worship the deity, this is the implication from saying you won't get it, the proper results, if you disrespect people and worship the deity. So it's an encouragement to respect everyone and worship the deity. And even if your qualification is low, you get the proper results. So that's also explained by Kapila Muni in his teachings too, the same point.
They are Aivatam, the Brahmins of Aivatam worshipable, not because they are not because of their divinity, but because of their brahminical qualities.
Mm.
And the Lord to teach the whole world performed the lila of worshipping them. But still, although there were many worthy Brahmanas in Rajasvedya, Krishna was worshipped first.
Yes.
Krishna's present in actually.
Yes. And Krishna with Sudama Brahmana. He worships Sudama Brahmana. And actually it's a very nice comment in, I think it's 11, 14, maybe 25 or 26. Unfortunately, I didn't bring the book, about Krishna walks behind the Brahmins and his footsteps, the dust, it explains it, and he purifies them, actually, by the dust of his feet blowing ahead and purifying them. To purify them.
In the third canto, it says, I am so glorified throughout the three worlds because I worship the Brahmins.
Yes. So that's Krishna wishing to tell us something.
Because of this, they don't do respect to gender for me. That's why they get the skip moment here.
That's why they get. Yes.
Because they are irritated.
The lower class. And there's always problems, even in India. In Orissa, just last week or 2 weeks, there was problems with the higher caste won't allow the lower class to go in, and then the lower class get really angry. The exploitation of by the higher castes of the lower castes. This is the falling apart of Varnashrama, because the lack of culture and the lack of the serving mood, when the higher, due to the influence of Kali, thinks himself higher to exploit, then the whole thing falls apart. Instead of higher to serve, facility to serve, they're given respect, therefore to serve. That happens many times, I think. So one answer is how to worship the demigods. So actually, Jiva Goswami explains there are two ways to worship the demigods, and one is superior than the other. One is to worship the Supreme Lord first, and then give them the prasadam. Give the demigods the prasadam. And another way is to worship the demigods but envisioning them as part of the Supreme Lord's body, And that is how Jat Bharat, when he was Maharaj Bharat, he worshipped the demigods, he saw them. So they're like that, and that is non-separate, non-different from the Supreme Lord, as they have power from him. So in him, in them, they saw him. Or Bharat Maharaj saw him. So out of the two ways, he said the first way is the better way, to give them the prasadam. Disrespect them from close.
Okay, the world may be in his heart, but this nonsensical person, this rascal, has made these nonsensical choices.
Which disagrees with my choice.
With the Shastra's choice.
That's even more. Raise a hand if you've never made any nonsensical choices. So that there's some humility is helpful. But the same point comes up in Kapila Dev's teachings when he lists so many varieties of living entities. And the purpose of that is to show that although you should respect all living entities, you have to practically treat them differently according to their position. Because Krishna is in a tiger's heart. You don't embrace the tiger because he'll kill you. So there's the theoretical truth and the practical application of the truth. So if in fact you have difficulty and always are fighting and arguing with a specific person and you really disagree with some of his decisions and there's no necessity for you always to be together, because when you're always together you fight, then yes, then you be respectful from a distance. It's practical. But don't talk badly about him to everyone, because that's disrespectful and that's easily fall into aparads. And also we should, at least to some degree, we should relativize our own judgments. Because, in other words, this person is my enemy because he disagrees with what I'm thinking. I brought it up in that way and you said he disagrees with Shastra, but Shastra can be often interpreted in other ways. But usually that's not the problem, that he disagrees with Shastra. The problem is he disagrees with me. But we should also remember that I also disagree with me. And what I was thinking 10 years ago is not the same way I'm thinking now at all. So that means what I'm thinking now, probably in 10 years from now, I'll be disagreeing with me now. So we should relativize our opinions about things, because there's different opinions about everything, how things should be properly done, and be a little humble in that way, and that can help.
Nonsense when he does it, he destroys himself.
Yes, well then if it's based on being concerned for him, if you have a kind of relationship that you can talk to him directly, then you can do that. And if you don't have that kind of relationship, because there's some people you have a relationship with, whatever you say they'll reject just on principle because you said it, or you already have tension in the relationship so you can't really offer some wise suggestions. So then you find someone else to express your concern to who has a relationship with the person. If your disagreement is based on a true concern for the person and his welfare, then it's your duty to somehow or another, according to the position of the circumstances, to help. It's your duty. But how you help takes some wisdom, either directly or indirectly, but you should help. If you see something going wrong, you should do something about it. But everyone can't just criticize everyone like that, but should speak to the proper people if you see something that's incorrect. When you first joined the movement, that wasn't there?
I wasn't aware of it.
That there was a lot of criticism.
The training that I received in the movement.
How wonderful. What wonderful training. Yeah. Very fortunate. Well, I can tell you one experience I had where I'll take it almost. The question is sort of literally asking a question of criticism. So, and I've mentioned this before probably, but in any case I'll say it again because it's relevant. that one year, many years ago, probably in the 80s, when I was living in Vrindavan, all the devotees used to take vratas in Kartik, give up sweets, or chant more rounds, or walk around Vrindavan every day, or this, or read this, or that. So one devotee said to me before Kartik was to begin, why don't you make your vrata, your vow, interesting this year, and vow not to criticize any devotees. And I thought, yes, how wonderful. And I made that vow. And I lasted 2 days. And during those 2 days, what I discovered is how much I criticize devotees. Casually and for no reason. Just to diminish them in my eyes or the person's eyes I'm talking to. In a very, very casual way. And it was very, you can say, enlightening in the sense that when the light goes on, you see how dark everything is, you know, how dirt is there. It was terrible, actually. So, in that way, my recommendation is you should take, to change the culture and change the world, is you should change yourself. Because otherwise you'll be criticizing everyone for how much they're criticizing everyone. So, be a really good example of this. That's the most important thing. And let everything spring from that. And it reminds me of that famous story that Prabhupada also told from the life of Mahatma Gandhi, when some Mataji came to him and said, please tell my child to not eat sweets, because he eats sweets all day long and it's so harmful for him. And what was Mahatma Gandhi's reply? Come back in 2 weeks. So the lady comes back in 2 weeks and says to Mahatma Gandhi, please tell my child to not eat sweets. And Mahatma Gandhi said, please stop eating sweets to the child. You know, it's bad for your health, too much of this, it's bad for your pancreas, it's bad for your teeth, this, that, this, that. So she was a bit bewildered. So she asked him after, why did you tell me to come back in 2 weeks? You could have said that 2 weeks ago to him, stop eating sweets. And he replied, first I had to stop eating sweets, because he was Gujarati. That wasn't easy. That's not part of it. So, yeah, it's very good advice and a very good way to, good and very sober point that you're making. Change my culture. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.